Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to Bartley's commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. Today, I'm going to talk about certain key aspects of the reptilian overlordship. There have been a number of people in the recent past giving their thoughts about the subject of the reptilian overlordship, or reptilians in general. Many of you familiar with my work would have heard this before, but I think now more than ever, this information needs to be rehashed and gone over with a fine-tooth comb. A lot of people out there giving their thoughts on the subject. Some know a lot, some not so much. Some are completely ill-informed about the subject, and many don't believe in the existence of reptilians at all. We see the Pentagon playing into this, the Pentacon, where these woo-woo faceless insiders, whoever they may be, are saying, oh no, there's no such thing as aliens. And in fact, if there are aliens, they're really demons, just demonic, and we don't want to get into it. And that's why we're going to maintain the cover-up, because it's so scary and demonic. That also leads into this notion that all aliens, all reptilians especially, are demonic beings, are demonic in nature. And that's not the case. Not all reptilians are bad. Some are friendly, some are neutral, some got better things to do than messing with humans. The problem on this planet is there is a ruling hierarchy of reptilians and Dracos, and they have exerted control of this planet through hybridization. Hybridization is the fundamental building block of the reptilian overlordship. Now you've got this congressman talking about, oh, scary military alien hybridization programs. Well, we know about that. It's the reptilian overlordship, reptilian hybrid agenda. To be sure, the reptilians are not the only ones in the hybridization genetic manipulation game. I would argue that some of the grays and gray factions that are working for the reptilians are doing the heavy lifting for the reptilians as far as the genetic work is concerned, as far as abducting some of these gray factions on the side. They may have their own side deal going where they're trying to upgrade their own species, because these grays, at least some of these gray factions, have clearly run out of time, essentially, as far as their evolution. They've reached the end of their evolutionary tether. So all they can do is just endlessly clone themselves unless they do something radical. In this case, as far as where our planet is concerned, that involves hybridization. How effective that's been for the gray agenda, well, that's questionable. But I bring up the grays only because some of them work for the reptilians. Humans are not the only beings to be hybridized by the reptilians. There are grays that are reptilian hybrids, gray anatomical features, but they have the reptilian vertical pupils. They have the quad fingers, what Carla Turner called chicken claws. I'm not talking about a finger with a long nail. I'm just talking about claws. DNA is the currency of the universe, and within the DNA of certain ETs and indeed certain human alien hybrids, in truth, many of us are alien human hybrids of various stripes. Within the DNA is latent, innate metaphysical powers. That's a whole nother subject. And to be sure, the reptilians are not the only geneticists. The mantis beings are deeply involved in this. In fact, at very high levels, mantis beings, Draco, and reptilians will work with each other in these hybridization programs. The hybridization agenda is why shapeshifting exists. I laughed out loud when I saw that video clip of, I think his name is Dr. Eric Davis. He's been making waves lately about having this insider knowledge. He said he had a conversation years ago with CIA director at the time, George H.W. Bush. And Bush confided in him that he was briefed into the UFO program, but they only told him so much. According to Dr. Eric Davis, they did tell Bush about the 1964 Nordic alien landing at Holloman Air Force Base, and they didn't tell him much more. And this Dr. Eric guy made a big deal about that, And he's a CIA director, and he's not even getting the whole full picture. And I couldn't help laugh at the irony of it, because the guy who told him that, oh, they wouldn't give me all the information, George Bush Sr., is a reptilian shapeshifter. I mean, how much does this Dr. Eric guy, whatever his name is, how much does he really know if he's not even aware that the guy he was talking to was a shapeshifter? CIA director at that, vice president and then president, in on the John F. Kennedy assassination. There's a photo of him outside, what was it, a Dallas courthouse or a Dallas police station, the day of the assassination. I bring this up because this guy is supposed to be former high level, really high security clearance, big shot whistleblower, and he doesn't even realize that the person he's talking about was a reptilian himself. That's how crazy it is. Okay, let's get into this. You've often heard me talk about, my longtime listeners, the reptilian concept of human ownership. Ownership to the point of literally using them as slaves, exploiting them, abusing them in every imaginable way, as if they're your property for you to vent out your sadistic pleasure and sadistic fantasies. Ownership to the point of literally taking up possession of someone, taking them up as a host for a reptilian entity. And we're getting right down to one of the bottom lines of what the reptilian overlordship is all about. Genetic manipulation combined with certain types of magical practices, ceremonial practices, satanic rituals, what have you, facilitate the hosting process. So in our example, an individual born into a reptilian hybrid family, they are already predisposed to being taken up as a host by a reptilian that has the ability to alter its density, alter its frequency, to be non-corporeal in our physical 3D world, and thereby have the means to enter into us, or perhaps initially attach onto our auric field, attach onto one of our energy bodies, and then over time through personal self-abuse, drug abuse, various forms of abuse, pornography addiction, manipulation, and now societal wise, I'll get into it, but it's all around us. This matrix is set up in such a way as to really shunt people into the reptilian R-complex brain. And often also said that behavior follows psychology, which follows neurology, which follows genetics. Reptilians feel that humans are their property, and then you look at some of the most evil cultures here on Earth, passing for human. What are they into? They're into slavery, they're into child abuse. I mean, all those attributes are there in these really corroded, warped, overly hybridized bloodlines. Consanguinity, i.e., inbreeding, radically exacerbates this. Pakistan, for example, is one of the most consanguineous inbred countries, ethnicities on the whole planet. And look what's become of them. Same thing applies to reptilian bloodline families. They keep it all in the family. I mentioned neurology. These people and serial killers are a classic example of this, but by no means are they unique. But serial killers would be an extreme example of this. And I would argue that certain reptilian hybridized demonic cultures around the world, certain ethnicities in particular, in various parts of the world, South Asia, the Middle East, Sub-Saharan Africa, etc., and also south of the border, and I'm not excluding Caucasians from this because there's a considerable amount of sadistic reptilian hybrid white people. What happens is the brain is created in a way that allows the reptilian entity or entities, because some people can be taken up by more than one entity, and also some people can be taken up by more than one type of entity. So one moment he's taken up as a host by a reptilian, and then the next he's taken up as a host by a mantis being. It depends on the genetic profile, the genetic mix, but I'm digressing. Getting back to the neurology, serial murderers and violent people tend to have little or no frontal lobe capacity, frontal lobe development. This is a key point to understand. Frontal lobe is the impulse control system in the brain. And they've done tests. I've talked about this. I've had slide presentations showing this in my presentations. They've actually done tests on serial murderers, in particular Joel Rifkin. And they found that he has virtually no frontal lobe capacity, which is a deadly recipe, a perfect storm where reptilian entity attachments, demonic attachments, reptilian hosting is concerned. When you read the testimony of the serial killers, and I've read a number of books written by FBI profilers about serial killers, a commonality amongst them is the waking hallucinations in their mind's eye of committing acts of mayhem and violence, particularly amongst women and children. This is a predatory mentality. Children are portable, they're easy to pick up, they're easy to do harm to, they're easy to dispose of, relatively easy, of their bodies. Women are weaker and can be overpowered and harmed, raped, abused, murdered, whatever the case may be. So these entities, once they pick up someone as a host because of the genetic, indeed spiritual predisposition of that person and that person's family genetics, the entity or entities begin constantly flooding that individual's mind with images of violent, sadistic brutality and mayhem. Another part of the series of tests that was given to Joel Rifkin was they did a dexterity examination on him. And the long and the short of it was, they found that he had no control over his limbs. In other words, his body and his limbs could suddenly do something without him even having a mind or the volition, the will to do so. What this means is, if he's constantly having images in his mind of lunging at women, of attacking women, of stabbing women, one fine day or night, he will find himself in the close proximity of a woman because the entity within him is predatory. It will make him, compel him, go to a place where he's likely to find a woman alone. Could be a prostitute or some woman who works late somewhere in some company or is closing down a restaurant late at night. So the entity, working through this host, a would-be serial killer, makes him go to a place where he's likely to find a female target because he's been getting these images in his mind over and over of attacking women. Suddenly, the woman, the victim in our example, pops up, leaves the store, locks it up, and he's there, and he acts out what he's seen in his mind's eye over and over again, lunging, attacking. And then what the entities will also do will put images of his mind of the tools of the trade, binds, duct tape, called gaffer tape in Australia, instruments such as hammers, mallets, to use for blunt force trauma to the head. Ted Bundy used to carry a kit bag, a tool bag, with bindings, duct tape, rope, a heavy sort of bludgeoning instrument that had a handle on it that he fashioned for himself. And he would use this. Ted Bundy was a type of sadistic serial killer who utilized, often as not, blunt force trauma to the skull on his victims. The reason this is so is because, for lack of a better term, within the neurology of these hybrid serial killers or would-be serial killers, individuals being groomed to be serial killers, they have, for lack of a better term, ports or plugins, which allow these entities to plug directly into their consciousness, receptors, if you will, and start flooding their mind with waking images. So if, in our example, an entity has attained perfect possession of an individual, a serial killer, or a groomed serial killer, and they've been having repetitive images of lunging at women, of striking women, of pulling them into a dark alley and doing severe grievous bodily harm to them. To continue our examination, when the gal comes out of the store late at night, she locks it and she's heading for a car in the parking lot. This hybrid reptilian Draco hybrid is there in the parking lot, and he's had all these images running through his mind over and over again of lunging at women, attacking them. Well, the entity has gained full perfect possession of him. So when the host is within striking range of the woman, he's going to lunge at her because the entity is lunging at her, using the body of the host as a medium through which to do this dastardly deed. It's not enough to say the reptilians are here and are walking among us. We already know that. The real question is, what kind of effect, if any, are they having on this host human population? Let's dive deeper into this. It's going to get pretty dark, folks. Hang on to your hats. These reptilians are extreme misogynists, and they have a predatory mindset, as I alluded to earlier. I spoke with one individual, and by no means is he unique. Again, if you delve into the testimony of the serial murderers themselves, Ted Bundy talked about how, as a young boy, scaly monsters, go figure, were coming out of his closet and messing with him. He had a problem with bedwetting. He was harming furry animals at an early age. And it's possible he may have murdered a little girl when he was a young boy. Ted Bundy used to say in his testimony, he would step out of his body. His consciousness would leave his body. And he would watch as the monster, as he called it, did horrific things to his victims. It has a lot to do with entrainment, repetitive messages, OCD thought loops, repetitive imagery, sadistic imagery, playing out in the mind's eye in waking consciousness over and over again. Also, the astral dreamscape manipulation. So there's no rest. During waking consciousness, the hybrid serial killer is getting all these horrific images flooding his mind's eye. And then when he goes to sleep at night, and I'll get into more of this later, the entities will slip into their bodies if they're not already in there to begin with and create these stage managed dreams where they're harming and killing and maiming and raping and mutilating women over and over. Or children, whatever their predilection that's being foisted upon the serial murderer in question. Serial murderers have said in their testimony that they get these repetitive images, and they're quite detailed, complex images, very much of a step-by-step fashion. First, they kidnap the victim, then they bring the victim to a safe hide out, and then they bind the victim, and then they begin torturing the victim in various and sundry ways. What the host, the hybrid host, tries to do is emulate, because it's all our complex, it's all about repetition, it's all about ritual, to emulate to the nth degree the movie, the sadistic movie that's playing out in their mind. And if they don't get it just right, if they don't torture and kill the person exactly the way that has been shown to them in their mind's eye, playing out over and over, and then they will feel compelled, well, any excuse will do, but they will feel compelled to go out, find another victim, and do their level best to commit the crimes exactly as has been shown to them in their mind's eye over and over and over again. So they are striving for perfection, if you will. They can never get it just right. That's the problem. So they have to do it again and again and again. The most dangerous type of serial killer is called an anger excitation rapist. They actually derive sadistic pleasure. They literally get off on inflicting harm and inflicting cruel torture on another person. It really, really turns them on in truly sadistic, lizard-like fashion. Some of these anger excitation rapists would not only keep trophies of their victims, garments, underwear, jewelry, what have you. Sometimes they would keep body parts, severed heads, what have you. Some, like Ted Bundy, would go back to his dump sites, so-called. Dump sites are where the killers leave bodies. Sometimes they bury them or partially bury them. Sometimes they don't. They just leave them there. Ted Bundy used to go back to his dump sites and would masturbate over the remains, over the skulls, decomposing skulls of his victims. And it's yet another example of how these reptilian hybrid serial killers, especially of the anger excitation variety, have a tendency of getting sexual arousal and the act of inflicting cruel torture on another helpless person. That is a high for them. That is a form of erotic excitement for them. They get sex and violence meted out towards others mixed up in their minds. We even see this in garden variety freaks out on the street. They're beating the hell out of somebody. They jump someone or are pounding their skull into the pavement, and one or more of them starts dancing. Like they get so turned on by the act of inflicting cruel punishment for no reason onto another human being. So some of them break out in the song and dance, start chucking and jiving. We see that all the time. This is why there is often orgiastic sex in the context of satanic rituals. There would be headless corpses, disemboweled corpses laying around, and yet they're so excited and so turned on, they begin having an orgy. Doesn't make sense to us because we're normal people. We don't have that hardcore reptilian brain with no frontal lobe capacity to prevent us from doing these things. But from their standpoint, if it feels good, do it. And if it involves hurting innocents, so much the better. They derive a sadistic pleasure out of that. I can't stress that enough. It's an addiction, it's a high just from inflicting cruel torture on somebody. I'm not even talking about the adrenochrome aspect. I'm just talking about just torturing somebody. They really get off on that. Years ago, I debriefed an individual who'd had a number of experiences with reptilians, and he described to me the process of what it was like to be taken up as a host by a reptilian and how it made him feel, the sadistic imagery that would come across his mind, and how he couldn't stop these sadistic images from going into his mind. This is what I've been talking about. He said that there were times when he felt this reptilian body or entity inside of him, and it made him feel immensely powerful. And his waking hallucinations, the movie repetitively playing in his mind's eye, was hardcore sadistic. It's well known that many sadistic serial killers, aka anger excitation rapists, they not only rape, anally rape, vaginally rape their victims, but some of them being impotent, some of them suffering from erectile dysfunction, they utilize foreign objects. To be sure, some that can achieve an erection and rape and anally rape and vaginally rape also use foreign objects, but some of them will use foreign objects because they can't do it any other way. And the foreign objects run the gamut. It could be broken bottles, shards of glass, any sadistic, horrific thing you can think of. That is part of the movie that's playing out in their mind. What this guy told me was that in these waking hallucinations, he would see in his mind's eye his erect member covered with shards of sharp glass. And then he would have these waking visions of viciously raping, vaginally raping, and anally raping female victims and tearing them up in the process. Now, again, what normal person that has no hosting issues, no reptilian hybrid hosting issues, who would even conceive of such a thing? But this is what this guy was going through. And this is what he related to me. He said for a time he could not stop these images flooding into his mind. And that was only during the daytime. Again, I'll get to the astral dreamscape manipulation later. This guy went on to tell me that this all started when he was at a really, really low point in his life. He was really depressed, really miserable. Nothing seemed to be going right in his life. He was having problems with his girlfriend. And then whammo, this boosting manipulation process kicks in. And at the height of it, he said that he would have fantasies about murdering and killing and torturing women. And when he'd see women out on the street, he would have this urge to do them serious harm. The girlfriend he was with was really upsetting him for one or another reason, and he felt he needed to take it out on somebody. From what I understand, he told me that he'd never hurt a woman, which is good, but the dynamic of the problems with his girlfriend combined with the reptilian manipulation he was undergoing. Remember, he said that when this thing was inside of him, he felt like he was 7 or 8 feet tall, and he felt super strong and all powerful and bulging muscles and everything. It was the energy, the reptilian flexing inside of him. And because of the problems he was having with his girlfriend, he wanted to go out and harm women. Thankfully, he never did. But I can't even imagine those kinds of waking fantasies where he's visualizing his own member, his penis, covered with sharp shards of glass, and he's using said member covered with sharp shards of glass to viciously, vaginally, and anally rape women. That's pretty hardcore. I mean, that level of depravity could only come from a non-human reptilian source, or perhaps something even darker than that, if it's possible. If you haven't already done so, I'd encourage you to plug into the work of old friend Jerry Marcinski's work. I've had Jerry on the show several times, and he's talked about these intrusive thoughts that create OCD thoughts of hopelessness, despair, utter depression. And a variant of that would be these intrusive thoughts that are mistakenly regarded by one's own thoughts, but they're actually inserted by someone or something else, perhaps a hosting attached entity. And these thoughts deal with harming others. Let's take the case of Richard Chase. Richard Chase was known as the vampire killer of Sacramento. I read about him in a book written by a serial killer profiler. And I've since read more about him, articles I could find about him on the internet. He was hearing voices in his head. These voices were telling him, were purported to come from occupants inside, get this, a UFO or UFOs. And these voices were telling him, if he didn't go out, kill people, and drink their fresh blood, his blood, his own blood, would turn to powder. So he went on a killing spree, killed about six people, killed them, dismembered them, drank their blood, ingested some of their organs, just the most horrific stuff you could imagine. But he was eventually arrested, thankfully. And when you look at him, he looks, geez Louise, he looks like a real reptilian hybrid. A lot of these serial killers, they are full-on reptilian or Draco hybrids. Just look at the facial structure of, what was his name, Dennis Rader, the BTK killer. BTK stands for bind, torture, kill. I talked earlier about binding, torturing, killing. The aforementioned Ted Bundy, Gary Ridgway. The Green River Killer. There are photographs that show Gary Ridgway with vertical pupils. Getting back to the OCD, intrusive thoughts, repetitive thoughts, and so on, these intrusive thoughts can be very specific. Go back and listen to some of Jerry Marzisky's interviews on my show and on other people's shows. These discarnate, non-corporeal voices, in our dimension anyway, are telling drug addicts precisely where to go to obtain drugs, telling them where to go to steal certain items, specific items, because they have this expanded view. They can zoom out these entities and working through their host, that they have under their control, they want them to stay on certain types of drugs. This also delves into the methamphetamine addiction aspect of aliens, greys, and reptilians, and truly demonic entities. Crystal methadrine and its derivative, known as crank, in places in California. Continued use of methamphetamines, crystal meth in particular, and crank locks people into a frequency bandwidth, which is the happy hunting ground for these negative entities. And Barbara Bartholik conducted an interview with one guy. He was a headhunter for a Silicon Valley firm, really smart guy, computer expert. And he got really addicted to crystal meth. And he said after a while, he was in such a state that the entities, grays and other beings, didn't even bother concealing themselves anymore. They would just flit in and out of his field of vision. And not surprisingly, these entities working through him compelled him to start looking up child pornography on the internet. That's what happened to him. Not surprising. These entities have such a hatred of the human race, of the divine feminine principle, of all humans, adult, child, toddler, baby. They just despise humanity and want to do everything to destroy, defile, and just use humanity for their own sordid, sadistic purposes. And this guy was all cranked out, tweaker, as they call him in some places in America, tweakers, these meth users. And eventually, he was led down the slippery slope to start viewing child pornography. Go figure. Another aspect of this reptilian hosting, reptilian hybridization syndrome, which needs to be addressed, is the desire of these hosting entities, reptilians, Draco, and other beings, to not only goad people into sexual assault, sexually abusing adults as well as children, murder, mayhem, get them on drugs. Oh, a quick story about drugs before I delve into the next part of it, which is the black magic aspect. I had a buddy back in San Diego. He was on a 6 or 7 day crystal meth trip. And he said in the midst of this crystal meth binge, he hadn't slept in all that time. And by now, so many entities had jumped into him, although he didn't realize that at the time, that it caused him to have the following experience. Get this. He said that in the midst of this methamphetamine binge, which lasted for days, sleepless days, at one stage, he felt himself exit his body. This is in San Diego. He said he felt himself exit his body, and then in his astral form, he headed towards what he believed to be Los Angeles to the north. He said he came down out of the night sky, jumped into an individual male, in an alleyway. And once in that body, in that alleyway, he and whatever entity or entities were working through him took over that male. And who knows what kind of drugs or whatever situation that male in the alleyway was going through at the time. And once inside the body of that male, he immediately, and probably with the help of the entities working through him, the meth user I was telling you about, using the host body he jumped into, went over and he strangled a woman, just killed her in the alleyway. Don't know if it was a prostitute that was there, that happened to be there, or another unfortunate woman. Whether it's a prostitute or not, it would be an unfortunate woman. They don't deserve that kind of death. And the way he described it to me, when he was telling me the story, his eyes were closed and he had his hands out in front of him and he was mimicking, strangling the woman while he was inside of this other guy's body. It was as if there was still this residual entity within him that was reliving the moment, the sadistic pleasure of taking the woman's life. And Ted Bundy used to talk about one of the things that really got him off was looking into his victim's eyes, the woman's eyes, as he was killing her, because he'd either bludgeon them to death, severe head trauma, blunt force trauma to the brain, to the skull, or he would strangle them. And when he strangled them, he said he really enjoyed looking into their eyes as the light went out in their eyes and they died. He or the entity working through him really got off on that. Okay, let me talk about the black magic aspect. It's very interesting. You will see this commonality, and it's not really emphasized the way it should be by these FBI profilers and serial killer profilers. They almost as if they, I'm not saying they're dismissive of it, because the evidence is there in their testimony and in the forensic evidence, but they don't seem to really take it, that research, in a direction it needs to go. And that is the black magic, ceremonial, ritual magic aspect in the lives of these serial killers. In the case of Jeffrey Dahmer, the entities had long had their hooks in him. They turned him into a cannibal. And again, the concept of the reptilian ownership of human beings, he'd find somebody in a gay bar somewhere, or one of his first murder victims was a hitchhiker he brought back to his house, and he wouldn't let the guy leave. And when the guy finally wanted to leave, he clubbed him over the head and then dismembered his body. And I can't remember if he ingested him or ate any part of that first victim, but at any rate, it underscores once again the concept of reptilian ownership. Oh, no, you're not leaving. You're staying with me. And it was really extreme with Jeffrey Dahmer. He would, against his comatose victims, because he would drug them, he actually would drill holes into their head through their skull, and using a syringe or a, what do they call it, a basting syringe for basting a turkey, he would fill it with acid of some kind or Drano of some kind, and then he would squirt it into the hole of his knocked out victim. Because he, in his own words, he later told investigators, detectives, that he wanted to make them an obedient automaton, basically a mind controlled zombie. And again, one aspect, an extreme aspect of that, well, that's already extreme, but an extreme aspect of the reptilian ownership of human beings is the cannibalistic aspect of it too. And Jeffrey Dahmer certainly was one of those. He was a cannibal. Point of relevance is he began to develop, no doubt with the urging of the entities working through him, this fascination with black magic and the occult. He began to build Jeffrey Dahmer. And I didn't see the whole Netflix series. I didn't see it till the end. I don't know if they delved into this part. But at any rate, Dahmer started to build a temple out of human body parts. And he never completed it because he got arrested. I don't know how far along he was into it, if it was still in the formative stages. But at any rate, he later admitted to investigators that he wanted to build a temple in his house, or his apartment, I think it was living at the time, of human body parts. He wasn't the only reptilian hybrid serial murderer that had a fascination with black magic. Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker, classic example. Yet another individual was David Berkowitz, the son of Sam. He was part of a satanic cult. And as many of you know, he went around, along with other cult members, he wasn't the only one doing this, shooting people at point-blank range with his .44 caliber handgun. And David Berkowitz was not the only serial killer who was part of an organized network of other serial killers and kidnappers and traffickers, human traffickers, and Satanists. And now, with the availability of the internet, that it would make it even easier for these types of people to network with one another. Another aspect of this matrix system in which we reside is the fact that so many aspects of this matrix, so many institutions, reinforce the messaging. I spoke earlier about these repetitive thoughts, intrusive repetitive thoughts by these discarnate non-corporeal entities, many of them having taken up roost inside of somebody, taken somebody up as a host. So they're getting all this messaging to the point, as Jerry Marzinski pointed out, that they will even tell the person exactly where to go to get drugs or exactly where to go to burglarize a house to get specific high-end items to sell for more speed, for more meth. Over and above that, we have a system in Hollywood, in academia, in the media, where many of these themes are endlessly repeated, reinforced. Things are said, things are done, things are promoted to engender anger, rage in certain people. We see this clearly with all the race baiting and all the hatred meted out towards whites. I spoke earlier about how certain cultures, Middle Eastern cultures, Muslim, hardcore Islamic, particularly Sunni Muslim cultures, certain messages, and all Islam is an up-to-date version of Baal worship, is all it is. Baal was the Canaanite god that demanded of its followers, worshippers, a sacrifice of their children. Looking back, it's a good thing that the Romans defeated the Carthaginians in three wars. It took them three wars to do it, but I'm glad they did because the Carthaginians, being Phoenicians, were hardcore Baal worshippers, and all Islam is today is Baal worship by another name. And look at the repetitive messaging. Kill the infidels. It's okay to rape their women, to humiliate them. It's okay to rape and molest little children of these host countries, where they're bringing in hordes of these Islamists. These usually Sunni, but not strictly Sunni. I mean, some are Sharia, of course, but the Sunni Muslims in particular are particularly violent people, and no doubt about that. All you got to do is look at their track record and how they've been used by the powers that be, let's call them, to move them in, destabilize one country after another in the Middle and Near East. And they want to do the same with Iran now, just bring in hordes of Sunnis and anyone else that they can find to destabilize that country. What we see with Islam in particular is this repetitive messaging. And combined with the consanguinity, the illiteracy of masses of Muslims who can't read a Quran for themselves, they have to rely on an imam to interpret it for them. And the messaging turns into thought loops: kill, rape, kill. Typical young white male or Asian male in another country, they grow up and their dreams, their goals, their visions, their fantasies even are radically different. Typical American boy, they want to grow up and be a ball player, football player, baseball player, scientist, rocket engineer, something. They don't go to bed at night, and likewise, they don't walk around their normal waking consciousness with these movies playing in their head of raping, stabbing, killing, acid throwing, et cetera, which is the norm for a lot of these Muslims. That's what they do. It's a repetitive movie played in their minds over and over and over by the entities working through them. And because of the consanguinity, the inbreeding, it exacerbates the whole problem. It makes it that much more easy for them to be taken up as host. They call it jinn in their culture, jinn, demons, what have you, that take them or take people up as host. But we clearly see in the messaging, the repetitive messaging within Islam to kill. Islam is by no means unique in this. There are other faiths, other religions that are very similar. In fact, I would argue that Islam was created specifically to take over large swaths initially of the Mediterranean, the North African littoral, 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 the Near East. The proof is in the pudding. Egypt and many of these other countries, Syria, they were largely Christian countries back in the day. And then along comes Islam, killing, enslaving everyone. Islam was a means to unite these previously disparate Arab peoples, unite them under one banner, Islam. And then what happens? They immediately turn around and start invading, enslaving, mutilating. Look what's happening in the West. Large influx of Arab Muslims, Pakistanis, Sub-Saharan Africans, many of them Muslims, the latter, the Sub-Saharan Africans, but not all. And the problem that the Sub-Saharan Africans have, a lot of them, is there is something to be said about generational curses, about familiar spirits, familiar entities, familiar root of that is family. And you have these entities follow these bloodlines generation after generation after generation. And many of these bloodlines at one time in the past, and some of them to this day, indulge not only in mass slaughter and murder and extreme forms of misogyny, forcing women to have literal circumcisions, for example. These familiar spirits follow them generation after generation. And lo and behold, so many of them, sub-Saharan Africans, Islamic or not, are brought into the West. What do? What else are they going to do? They're going to rape, they're going to pillage, they're going to steal. Same with the Islamists. What else are they going to do? They're going to rape, they're going to pillage and steal, because that's what the programming, the Baal worship programming, is all about. And because their consciousness has been so thoroughly taken over by these entities, again, they call them jinn, but they would never really regard themselves as being possessed. That's the irony. Even though many of them practice black magic, many of them try to use jinn to attack other people. You use jinn and curses, etc., etc. And maybe some of them know that they're imbued with jinn and other entities, but but a lot of them may not know that. That's just the way they are. That's how what they think. Again, the repetitive imagery in their heads, in their mind's eye, the repetitive messaging in the Quran, and the repetitive messaging from their imams. Okay, this is dogmatic thought loops. Hybridized reptilian brains, little or no frontal lobe capacity. They're acting out on the waking visual images in their brain, the movie running in their brain, their minds, which have been taken over by these entities of attacking, bashing, killing, raping. And they're acting out. They've become vessels for these entities. And those are just garden variety Islamists. We're not even talking about the so-called reptilian hybrid elite, the putative plantation managers of this planet, the controllers of this planet, on behalf of the reptilians and the Draco higher up in the food chain from them. I mean, you look at Ellen DeGeneres, that's a monster. Nothing human about her facial structure. She's a monster. Is it any surprise that Ellen DeGeneres has been identified in the Epstein files as being a cannibal? And apparently, she had eaten her girlfriend who tried to defect, get away from those monsters. And they capture her. Her name, Anne Hesh, I think that was her name. They have the footage from the helicopter above, and here she is trying to break out of a body bag. Then they stuff her back into it. So clearly, those firefighters, paramedics, were just pretending to be firefighters and paramedics. They were part of the cult. And what happens? They slay her, and then Ellen DeGeneres eats her, right? Because she's a cannibal. When you look at her, she's a monster. That's not a human face. And then you zoom out and you look at all these elites. Just look at all these members of parliament, all these members of Congress and the Senate. Look at the royal families. They're a bunch of inbred reptilian hybrid, Draco hybrid monsters. That's why we're in the fix we're in on this planet. They've got everyone fighting against everyone else. They've had a hand in creating all these religions, all these offshoots of religions, pit them against each other. If you want to see a sneak preview of what may be in store, is already in store for America, and certainly the West, but probably more so in America, as far as all-out civil war is concerned, look what happened to Lebanon in the mid-70s going forward, just riven with sectarian violence, all these different religious groups, all these different ethnicities, sects creating their own armed militias in order to survive, very much like in a prison scenario where one is compelled to join one gang or another just for survival's sake. It's the only way to stay alive or stay unmolested, basically, is to be part of a gang. That's what it was like in Lebanon. Then you have the outside influence from the Syrians, from the Israelis, from the Americans, and just all these people that used to be under one banner, all Lebanese at one time. Lebanon was once regarded as the Paris of the Middle East, the Switzerland of the Middle East. It all went to hell because of all these internal and external factors creating all this divide and rule. That's what happened with the Soviet Union. People nowadays talk about Kodinov Kalergi. It's not a new thing. This mass influx of third world migrants into the West. The Soviet Union was doing that back in the day. They'd take people from the far east of the Soviet Union, bring them over to Central Asia, and then likewise take the people that were in Central Asia and move them all the way over to the far east, far eastern end of the Soviet Union. And that's what they did. They just shifted people around. People that have no connection to the local scenery, no connection to the land, no connection to the people, and they're just moved in. And that's what's going on now. It's like Lebanon on steroids, what's going to happen in America. So this is all being done by these puppet masters, these reptilian hybrid elites, so-called. I don't even like the term elite. I'll stop saying that. I'll just say reptilian hybrid parasites, and their goal is just to destroy humanity. People keep talking about, oh, Trump needs an off-ramp. Trump wants to end the war. No, that's not how it works. The war with Iran is meant to go on until the whole global system collapses, the whole economic system just collapses, and we go into a state of global mass famine. That's the idea behind it. It's not just cutting off energy sources to the Chinese and Russians. That's part of it, but zoom out further. It's a continuation of World War I, World War II. Here we are again with the same puppet masters behind the scenes pulling the strings, these same hybridized bloodline families that are behind all this. I'm going to talk more in a future commentary about the astral dreamscape aspect of this. I've talked about it before. You can dig up some of my old lectures I've given and some of my old podcasts where I talk at length about this. I've even written papers about this back in the day, treaties, when very hard to find them nowadays. But I just thought I'd put this out there because it's not enough to know that the reptilians are real and they walk among us. It's what have they done to the human race? They've hybridized the human race. They've given us their minds, their brains, their low impulse control, their sadistic mentality, where they seek pleasure from the sadistic torture of others. They derive extreme, almost sexual arousal, indeed, sometimes sexual arousal from making others suffer. And they're doing it on a planetary scale. That old paradigm, they didn't want to use it, at least in the outset of the old-fashioned alien invasion. That may still be in the cards. When they've softened up the surface population so much that they just decide to hell with it. We're just going to walk amongst them and they're just going to bow down to us, however many are left. And we're just going to assume our alien reptilian form because there's nothing they can do about it. But you know what? There is something we can do about it. We can recognize them for what they are and recognize the fact that they need us to war against each other and spin our wheels. Identifying as this, that, or the other. I'm a Democrat, I'm a Republican, I'm a liberal, I'm a conservative. Instead of realizing, hey, you're a human. Now, that much being said, some of these hybridized humans that I've just been talking about, they want everyone else dead or enslaved. That's why they're moving all these people in from all these countries to enslave people, to use them as shock troops. And then back them up in true Frankfurt School fashion, back them up with a just us justice system. So the victims of crime and the families of the victims of crime are victimized again. That's how this system works. And we're seeing this all the time now. So anyhow, I thought I'd bring that up, and I'll talk more going forward about various aspects of the reptilian overlordship. But I've said it before and I'll say it again. The hybridization of the human race by the reptilians and the Draco is the fundamental building block of the whole control system. If they don't hybridize, or if they didn't rather hybridize significant swaths of the population, and in particular, these bloodlines that were groomed and promoted to the very highest echelons of power on our planet, we wouldn't be having these problems. And again, I just want to reemphasize, everything is reinforced in cinema, in academia, in education. Everything is done to reinforce that our complex reptilian predatory mentality. They've already done this with the race baiting, turning races against each other, making everyone hate white people. It's okay to bash and kill white people and let them go. And some of these criminals have been arrested dozens and dozens of times, and they just keep catch and release, letting them go to create more mayhem. That's exactly the kind of system we have right now. So anyhow, I thought I'd talk a bit about the reptilian overlordship and the reptilian hybridization agenda as the basis for it. Thank you for listening, wherever you may be, whatever you may be doing. Have a very pleasant time, and we'll see you next time. Bye for now.